Today's daf is Pesach and Daf Pei Ches. We left off on the bottom of Daf Pei Zayin and Beis. We're right in the middle of a discussion on Pei Zayin and Beis. Today we're first going to finish up some of the Agadita from yesterday about why we're in Bavel, a few other Agadita statements about the day of Kibbutz Golios, and then the Gemara is going to go on to discuss when a Balabayis Shechs the Korban Pesach, who is automatically included on his carbon. We assume his young children certainly would be automatically included on his carbon. Who else is automatically included on the carbon of Bala Bayis? Then we're going to talk about the details of which carbon works for an Eved, if the Eved is either Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, or he's owned by Shutfim, he's owned by multiple people. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to discuss where a person sends somebody else. He sends his Eved to go Shecht his carbon Pesach for him, but there's some confusion in the Shlichus. Either the Eved forgot what kind of animal he's supposed to shecht, or the master forgot what kind of animal he told the Eved to shecht, something of that nature. The Mishnah is going to discuss all of those details, and at the very end of the daf, if we get to it, there's a brisa that discusses if you have five Karbonos Pesach that got mixed up with each other, and then you check out the hides of each animal, and you find that there was a mum on one of them, but you don't know which one it was, because the hide has already been removed from the animal. So what do you do about these five groups of people, four of whom have been yotzei their mitzvah of Korban Pesach, but one of whom, unbeknownst to them, has not been yotzei the mitzvah? That's the final discussion on the daf. So let's pick up again. Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We were in the middle of discussing the various reasons that our Kodesh Baruch Hu sent us into Galus Bavel Dafka. We already said why Hashem sent us into Galus, scattered us throughout the Galuyos. It was because He doesn't want us all in one place, because then our enemies will be able to destroy all of us at one time. But why Dafka Bavel? So we mentioned the first possibility is because Edom is too difficult. We would not have been able to be mekabel the gezeros achzarios of Edom. Second possibility is because Bavel is the greatest depths, and miyad sha'olaf deim mavis hagaleim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to redeem us from death, from the lowest places. Third possibility we said was, and that's what we finished with yesterday, was karav lashonam l'lashon Torah. The lashon of Bavel, the language, is similar to the lashon of Torah, and that's what we discussed. The Lashon Arami in some way is different than other languages. It's singled out as being most similar to Lashon HaKodesh. Now we're up to possibility number four lines before the end of the page. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mipnei Sheshigron LeBeis Iman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just sending us back. He was sending us back to where we belong, to where we came from, to our mother's home. Mashallah Adam Shakos Alishto. It's like a man who gets angry at his wife. Lehechon Meshagro. Where does he send her back? LeBeis Iman, to her mother's house. V'hainu Rabbi Alexandri, and that's what Rabbi Alexandri taught. Amar Shlosha Chazru Limat Asan. Rabbi Alexandri taught that there are three things that went back to their original source. Elu Hain, Yisrael, Kesef Mitzrayim, Uksav Luchos. Those three things are Klal Yisrael, the money that we got from Mitzrayim, and the writing of the Luchos. Yisrael, Hadi Amram. Klal Yisrael is what we just said. That we go back to Bavel because that's where we originated. Kesef Mitzrayim Dichsiv Vayi Bishana Chamishas Melech Rechavim Ola Shishak Melech Mitzrayim Ali Yerushalayim Vegomer. We lost all the money to Mitzrayim, as Rashi points out. Kesef Mitzrayim Shabazu Yisol B'tzeis Mitzrayim Kedichsiv Vayi Natsos Mitzrayim Ubi Yimei Rechavim Ola Shishak Melech Mitzrayim Natsos Kalotros. So all the money we took out of Mitzrayim took back. They took back reparations for everything we took from them in the days of Rechavim Ben Shlomo. Ksava Luchos, the writing of the Luchos also Dichsiv Vashpa Ashabrim Leinechem, Tana Luchos Nishburu Vaosios Porchos. That even though the Luchos were broken, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, the letters floated up in the air, the letters went back to where they came from when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. So that's that highlights the idea that we went back to our source, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu Dafka sent us to Bavel for Galus. Ula Amar, Ula says, no, there's a different reason why we went to Bavel. Kedei Sheyochlu Tumarim Viasku B'Torah. Hashem wanted us to eat dates and learn a lot of Torah. There are a lot of dates in Bavel. There are very sweet dates in Bavel. Ula Ikla L'Pumbedisa. One time Ula went to Pumbedisa, Krevule to Tirina de Tamri, and they brought a big basket of dates in front of him. Amrlu Kamaki Hani Bezuza. He said, how many of these dates can I buy for a zuz? Amrle tlas bezuza. They said you can get 3 dates for a zuz. Amr melitz melotzina de duvsha bezuza ublavloi lo aski ba reisa. He said, I don't understand. You can get dates for so cheap, and the Babylonians aren't learning Torah. How could you not learn Torah when you have such delicious dates? So belayle tearuhu. That night, after eating those 3 very sweet dates, he had a massive stomach ache. It really bothered him. So Amr, so he said the opposite. Melotzina sama de musa bezuza. You could buy a basket full of poison for a zuz, bibavel and bavel, ubavlai yaski baraisa, and the Babylonians learn Torah. So on one hand, he first said that they don't learn Torah, then he said that they do learn Torah. The pashtus is that that he was saying that they learned Torah somewhat. At first he was surprised at how little they learned, and then he was surprised at how much they were able to learn given their given their predicament. And that's the idea of there is no set amount of Torah that one is expected to learn. One is expected to learn as much as he is able to. So could have 2 people learn exactly the same amount, and Ula is ready to criticize one of them because he has more opportunity, and he's ready to praise the other one who had less opportunity. So that's the nature of the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. The Ein Elio raises the question, why does he refer to the Tamarim as Dvash? I mean, it's not really such a kasha, because Tamarim are, if we refer to Eretz Zavas Chalav Dvash, we refer to Eretz Yisrael as a land flowing with milk and honey. We're not talking about bee honey, we're talking about Dvash Tamarim. So, but anyway, he said, but he ate Tamarim, he didn't eat date honey, he ate dates. So he says, based on Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin, when the Gemara says that a person should first learn Torah and then get married, the Gemara in Kiddushin of Chav Tesam Beis, so Tosfos says that's for the Bnei Bavel who are Aniyim. After they got married, they're not able to learn Torah properly because Rechaim B'Tzavarov, Yasuk B'Torah, if someone is has the ol of Parnasa on him, how's he going to be able to learn Torah properly? So that's why for those people, Dafka, who are Aniyim, who are not going to be able to support their wives, so better for them to learn Torah first and then to get married. The Gemara in Yuma says that Dvash is Meir Einov Shel Adam. So Ula said, why are the Bnei Bavel, after they're married, not learning Torah properly? They have so much Dvash, which is Meir Einehem. And that which he says afterwards, that the Bavlai are Oskim B'Torah, he means those who are still not married and are Osik B'Torah. So he's referring to different stages in their lives. So based on that insight of Tosos, different than we said, that it's that two people could be learning the same amount of Torah, one of them is going to be praised, the other one is going to be, you're talking about 2 groups of people. One group of people that was Taka learning, the Bavlai that were Taka learning were the people before they were married. The other group are the people that weren't learning, those were the Bavlai after they were married. V'amr Rav Lazar, Maidichsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says V'halchu Amim Rabim V'amr L'chu V'nal El Har Hashem El Beis Elokei Yaakov? What does the pasuk refer to when it says that we should go to the Beis Elokei Yaakov? What? Elokei Yaakov Lo Elokei Avram Yitzchak? Is the Beis HaMikdash the house of the God of Yaakov and not the house of the God of Avram and Yitzchak? We always refer to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together. Why only Yaakov? Elolok Avram Shekhasuv Bohar Shnemar Asher Yomer Ayom Bahar Hashem Yireh V'lok Ki Yitzchak Shekhasuv Bosada Shnemar V'yetzi Yitzchak L'suach Bosada Ela Ki Yaakov Shekhoru Bayis Shnemar V'yikra Hashem Makom Ahu Beis El. That each of the 3 avos had a different way to refer to the Beis HaMikdash. Avram Avinu referred to it as a har, Yitzchak as a sada, Yaakov as a bayis. So we're highlighting Yaakov's way of referring to the Beis HaMikdash as the most accurate description of the Beis HaMikdash, that it is in fact a bayis. What is behind the 3 avos each describing the Beis HaMikdash in a different way? So in the Akedas Yitzchak, he says that Avram Avinu, since he was the first one to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, so whenever an idea is new, one is not able to fully plumb the depths of the idea and to fully understand what it means, Hashkachas Hashem. So the greatness of the Hashkachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his creators is something that Avram Avinu himself, says the Akedas Yitzchak, was not able to really fully comprehend, and therefore he related to people coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a mountain. It's this high mountain way above the land, and we're not able to fully scale it and to fully understand just how it relates to us. So when Avram Avinu davened for his children, it was Bedarga Shel Har, it was Bahar Hashem Yireh. Yitzchak already saw a little more of Hashgachas Hashem. He saw what happened in finding his spouse, what happened in Eretz Plishtim. So he knew that the kind of Hashgacha that Hashem has over his creations, and that's more like a sada, that a bailum of a sada guards over the field very carefully and is constantly guarding the field. So he relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Hashgachas Hashem in this world through the Beis HaMikdash as a sada. Yaakov, after what happened with Esav and the Bechorah, he already knew full well the full madrega of the Hashgacha, that it's like a bayis, like someone who lives together in the same house with you, not just a field that you guard as your business, but this is something that's part of how you live 24 hours a day. It's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's part of our lives constantly. So Yaakov refers to it as a bayis, and that's the most accurate description. It's just that it took a few generations till the full Havana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the extent possible, was achieved by Yaakov Avinu. The Marsha says a little different. The Marsha says that Avram called it a har, that the reason there are three names for the Beis HaMikdash is because there are three Batei Mikdash. There's the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and God willing, the Bayis Shlishi, which will be built b'mehera. So when it comes to Avram was referring to the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, where the Shechina was like a Shomer Barosh Ahar, that it's like a Shmiras Arai. So that's Al Har Tzion Sheshamam. Yitzchak called it a Sada because the second Beis HaMikdash, the Shmira, was even less than in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, and Tzion Sada Techarash. Yaakov calls it a Bayis because that already has been put in place, the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi has already been put in place before Briyas HaOlam was ready, Olam B'machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create a Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi that's going to be the greatest level of Shmira, El Beis Elokei Yaakov. That's how the Marsha understands. The Netziv also in Chumash, the Netziv in Bereishis, has a fantastic explanation, except the one thing that always bothered me about the Netziv's explanation is the linchpin of his explanation is that he views Avram Avinu as the Amud HaTorah and Yaakov as the Amud HaChesed. So he sort of flips what their normal... So he has a whole mahalich based on Yitzchak is still Gevura, but he has a whole mahalich based on that. Okay, anyway, says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gadol Kibbutz Galios, Kiyom Shenivru Bo Shemayim Va'aretz. Kibbutz Galios is as great as the day that the world was created. Shenemar, V'nikbetsu B'nei Yudu B'nei Yisrael Yachla, V'samu Lehem Rosh Echad, V'olum Min Ha'aretz, Ki Gadol Yom Yisrael. Uksi V'yer V'yivoker, Yom Echad. So we see that they're both called a Yom, so they're both, they're related to each other, the day of Kibbutz Galios and the day of Bria Shemayim Va'aretz. In the Sefer, Avram Es Einav, quoted over here in the Masifta, I never heard of the Sefer, he says three suggestions of what the connection is between the day of Brias Shemayim Va'aretz and the day of Kibbutz Galios. First of all, just like Al Yidei Brias Olam, everyone had a Hakara of the Godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too, Kibbutz Galios, everyone's going to recognize Kol Yoshei Sevel are going to realize that we should all bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Second, that over many generations there is a sense of Yeush over whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever actually going to bring the Geula. So in order that the later generations should not have a sense of Yeush from our Averos and say, well, we're never going to be Zocha to Geula, so we compare the day of Kibbutz Galios to Yom Shenivru Bo Shemayim Va'aretz. There were no Zuchiyos then either to create Shemayim Va'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishtatev Midas HaRachamim in order to create Shemayim Va'aretz. So we should assume that Olam Chesed Yibana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Galus with Midas, going to bring the Geula, going to end the Galus with Midas Rachamim as well. And the third link between them is that just sometimes the length of the Galus causes us to have a Yeush over the possibility of Geula. So because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do it, why didn't he do it already? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world at any time also, and yet he created it when he created it, meaning just like he did that in the time that he felt appropriate, he'll do the Geula in the time that he feels is appropriate. Okay, that's the end of the Agadat piece. So says Gemara now, Yasom And the Mishnah had said that Yasum Sheshachta Lava Petrobsin, that if you have an orphan, that two different caretakers each register the orphan on their Korban Pesach, so he can choose which one he wants to eat. So it says, well, I could choose Shabmina Yesh Breira. So maybe that's a raya that Yesh Breira, that we can rely on Breira, and then retroactively we're going to know which one was his all along. Some Rabbi Zeira, Selabayis Mikal Makom. So the Gemara says, no, you can't prove that Yesh Breira from there, because Yasum's consent isn't necessary to register him on a Korban Pesach. Consent is only required of an adult. That just happens automatically. He's automatically included. As Rashi says, Selabais ish balabais yikhenul chal b'nei beiso vein tzarech daitan. The b'nei habayis are automatically included in the bal habayis's carbon. You don't need the das of the b'nei habayis. Tosos raises a fundamental question in Dibur Maskel Selabais in the third skinny line, v'im tomar v'heich machil pesach shalol m'nuyav nehi dekata nochel nevelos en beidim esuvin lafrisho lisul slo b'yadayim. Wait a second. Granted, Selabayis is Mikal Makom, that everyone's included, but he wasn't registered on this carbon. And if he's not registered on this carbon, how are you allowed to feed him something that is usher to him? That the halacha is, even though Katan is not a bar mitzvah, and therefore if he's doing an avera, Beis Din has no responsibility to stop him. His parents do have a responsibility to stop him. That's the mitzvah of chinuch. But Beis Din has no responsibility to stop him. So, but there's an iser lo sachilim that you're not allowed to feed him directly. You're not allowed to give him an iser. So it says Tosfos, Amri da'asim yalfinim lo sachilim velo aser ella dumya deshratzim unavelos. Al v'kayagavna diko chinuch mitzvah shari. When you're stam feeding him an iser, so that's a violation of lo sachilim. But if you're not just stam feeding him an iser, you're trying to be mechanich him to do a mitzvah like Korban Pesach, and just happens to be the only way to do it is when he's not really registered on the Korban, so the Los Achilim does not apply. It's not that it's waived, it does not apply in an honest attempt, in an honest effort to do the mitzvah of chinuch. That's what the Rishonim talk about, giving a katan a shofar to blow on Shabbos if you're teaching him to do a mitzvah. So even though you're not allowed to give him an iser, but if you're teaching him to do a mitzvah, maybe it would be different. This comes up with feeding children outside of a sukkah. So the halacha is an adult male is not allowed to eat outside of a sukkah on the Yom Tov sukkahs, provided that he's not mitzvah or anything else. So are you allowed to feed children outside of sukkah? So Magen Avraham says, just like you're not allowed to feed children chazer treif, you're also not allowed to feed children outside of a sukkah during the Yom Tov sukkahs. Now, very important, the isra of los achilim, the Gemara says, is different than the mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch applies when a child is higia l'chinuch, when he's of age to understand the mitzvah and to be able to do the mitzvah properly. Los achilim, the Gemara says, applies even to the youngest of children, even to children right when they're born. It's a violation of los achilim at a very, very young age. So l'chora, the Magen Avraham is saying, we shouldn't feed children outside of the sukkah, even if they're out of an extremely young age. Mishra Brura quotes this Magen Avraham and says that you're not even allowed to tell a child to feed himself outside of the sukkah. That would also be a violation of los achilim. Now it's interesting. The Magen Avraham and Hilchos Yom Kippurim, we're right between Sukkot and Yom Kippur. We mentioned both. Magen Avraham and Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Tafresh Tazayin Sivkat and Beis, says that although you're not allowed to feed a child on Yom Kippur, you can feed a child outside of the sukkah on Sukkot. So that it's a stir in the Magen Avraham in the Tshuvas Binyanav. Rav Bakshi Doron suggests that maybe there's a difference between a child being fed by a man versus a child being fed by a woman. That if a woman is not herself chayv in sukkah, maybe she could feed a child, but a man who is chayv in sukkah, maybe it would be a violation of los achilim to feed the child. So this is very striking, that there's such an iser to feed any child of any age, male, any boy child of any age. A girl obviously could feed, a woman is also allowed to eat outside the sukkah, but the outside of the sukkah, very, very difficult. So the minhag olam does not seem to be that way at all. So Rav Avadia Yosef writes in, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in Alicha Shlomo, in the ninth parak of Alicha Shlomo, questions the whole Magen Avraham. He doesn't understand where the Magen Avraham is coming from. The Isser of Los Achilim is not to feed a cheftza of Isser, but if you're giving him perfectly kosher food that he plans on eating outside the sukkah, why is that included in Los Achilim? That's not the circumstance is an usher circumstance, but the cheftza is a cheftza de'atera. And also, So los achilim generally would only apply to feeding a davar aser, not to failure to do a mitzvah saseh. Sitting in sukkah is a mitzvah saseh. It's not a violation of a los saseh. Anyway, there are other svaras to be makel for feeding a child outside the sukkah. Shturbach points out that if a child is so young that he needs his mother's help in order to feed himself, so then certainly he's allowed to eat outside the sukkah, because an adult in the same that's what the Gemara says, katan shetzarach li'imo, is pata from sukkah, the Mishnah says. So if the child still needs his mother to be able to feed himself, so he's pata from sukkah. So it's not an isra at all. He's included in the patur. Plus, one could argue that the Achron point out that there's a sense of mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan and Tav Reish Mem Sif Beis says that certainly if it's cold outside and it's not healthy for the children to be outside in the cold, so their threshold of mitzvah is a much smaller threshold than our threshold of mitzvah. So they'd be potter from sukkah. So that's probably where the minhag olam comes from. That it's cold, that it's mitzvah for them to be out in the sukkah. They have a din of a chol shem bo sakana, and a chol is potter from sukkah. So it's probably one of, even though the Magen Avraham says not to, it's more seems more like halacha that's on the books, but not necessarily widely practiced. Tan Rabbanan, sell the bayis. Melamit shadam mevi v'shochet al debno bito aktan. Like the avdo v'shulchas aktanim, bein midaitan bein shalom midaitan. We see from the pasuk sell the bayis, the person can bring and shech the carbon for his young children under bar bas mitzvah, his eved kanani, his shivcha kanainis, whether with their consent or without, you could do it. Avaleinu shochet al but your adult children, your Jewish slaves, your wife, you need their consent in order to include them in the Korban Pesach. Tani Yidach, we have another brayso. Same group of people, adult children, Jewish slaves, wife, you need her consent. But children under bar bas mitzvah, non-Jewish servants, you can include them even without their consent. Any of these people on the above list who shecht their own carbon and their master shechted for them, their yotze with their master's carbon, vein yotze mishalatzim, but not with their own carbon, chutz min isha sheyichol limchos, except for the woman who could make a machal that she doesn't want to be on her husband's carbon, so her own carbon will count. Well, maishna isha, why should the woman be any different than a Jewish servant or than an adult child? They also have the ability to be moche. So amravi isha v'kol d'damila. We mean, except for the isha and everyone else who's on that list together with the isha. That's who's excluded. That's who would count with her, who would bring her own carbon, and would count as their carbon would count and not the master's carbon. But the other list, the master's carbon would count. But Hagufa Kasha, Amr Chutz Mini Isha Mnei Sheichol Limchos, we have a separate stira. It says that a woman is able to make a machah to not be included with her husband. Taim of Demachi sounds like only if she actively objects. Halomachi Nafka Bishal Baila, but if she doesn't say anything, she does get included with her husband. Vakatani Resha Vloide Ishto El Midai. But the Rashi says the only way a woman's included is if she consents. Hastam alo nafka. Sounds like if she doesn't say anything, she's not yotze. So it's a stira. What if she doesn't say anything? So my ela midaitan lav da amri in ela bestama. When we say midaitan, that she consents, we mean that she doesn't object. Lafuke hecha da amr lo. It's as long as she didn't say no. Vakulum sheshachtu v'shachar rabban alein yotze mishal rabban de bestama v'ktani chutz b'nei isha b'nei sheichol limchos. But wait a second, we said that automatically she's yotze. That seems like a case of stam, and we say chutz min yish mei sheichol limchos, that she's able to make a machal, she's able to say no afterwards. No, the point is, that's not called the case of stam. If she shechts her own karban, that is a macha'a. The macha'a could be verbal, by her saying, I don't want to be on this karban, or it could be active, by her actively shechting her own karban, where she's demonstrating through her actions that she doesn't want to be included on the karban. Eved shel shnei shutfin. So we discussed in the Mishnah, if you have an eved that's owned by two different partners, he's not allowed to partake of either master's karban pesach. So Rami le Ravina Sabler, but we have another braisa that tells us that the eved gets to choose which one he wants to partake. Not that he can't have either one, but that he could choose which one. So it's a stira. So he says, you're black and pot. It depends what kind of relationship the partners have. If the partners are kapti adadi, they don't want to benefit from each each other, so they don't allow their share in the Eved to benefit from the other owner's carbon. But if they're lokap the adadi, then the Eved could choose whichever one he wants. The Mishnah said, if somebody's half free and half slave, he's not allowed to partake of his master's carbon Pesach. So Mishal Rabbah who delo yochal, avu Mishal atzma yochal. Sounds like he can't have his master's carbon Pesach, but if he brings his own carbon Pesach, he can eat that. But we have a brisa that says otherwise. A brisa that says he cannot eat his own carbon Pesach, nor can he eat his master's carbon Pesach. So which is it? Says Gemara, lo kasha. Kan kemishna rishona, kan kemishna achrona. One is assuming like the original shita of Beis Hillel about what to do with the chati eved v'chati ben chorin. The other assumes like the final decision of Beis Hillel when he was modded to Beis Shammai about what to do with the chati eved v'chati ben chorin, which we referred to yesterday. Says the Gemara d'tanan, like we have in the Mishnah, that goes through the whole progression of Beis Hillel shita. Misha chati eved v'chati ben chorin. If you have someone who's half servant and half free man, Ovid es rabu yom echad, vesatzma yom echad divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel's original opinion was, let him split his time. He'll work for his master one day, he'll work for himself one day. Now, if he's going to split his week between working for himself and working for his master, so it makes sense to assume that he's not allowed to eat his own carbon because he doesn't control the half of himself that's still an Eved. So that's what our Mishnah was talking about when it said that he's not allowed to eat his own carbon. Beishamay Omrim, Beishamay, even at the early stage, argued that Tikantim is Rabbo, Vesatzma lo Tikantim. That's a bad solution to the problem because you may have solved the master's problem in terms of how to split the work, but you haven't solved the Eved's most fundamental problem, and that is, how's he going to get married? Lisa Shivcha Eino Yachol Shekvar Chetzi Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Shivcha Kananis because he's half free man, and a free man's not allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis. Lisa Bas Chorin Eino Yachol, he can't marry a regular Jewish girl Shadayin Chetzi Eved because he's still half Eved. So you may have solved his work schedule, but you haven't solved his personal life. You haven't solved his ability to have children. Yevatel, what? So should he just not have children? Valol Nivra Olam El Piri Verivya. The world was created for the sake of having children. Shnemar lo sover al shavas yitzara. The pasuk says that the world was not created to be left empty. It was created to populate. Elam ipnei tikun olam. So rather, says Beis Shammai, for the sake of allowing this person to live a normal life, kofen es rabo voso so ben chorin, we force the remaining master to free him. V'kosif shtar al chati damav, and he writes a shtar that he will owe that master half of his value. V'chaz Beis Hillel laharos k'Beis Shammai, and then ultimately Beis Hillel was moda to the shita of Beis Shammai. That's why this mission appears in Masech Sidios amongst the whole list of times that Beis Hillel was chozer to be moda to the shita of Beis Shammai. Now once Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai that Beis Hillel will force the remaining master to free him so he can get married and have children, so now it makes sense that we would allow him to eat his own carbon, because we already consider him to be completely free since he's on the road to freedom, meaning even right though right now he's a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, we know that that's only temporary and that he's going to be free, so it's considered that he has some sort of jurisdiction over himself and therefore he's allowed to eat his own carbon. So that's the that's what the Brice was talking about according to the Mishnah Achrona of the Beis Hillel. Now Tosfos in a few places in Shas where this comes up has a lot of discussion about the nature of the mitzvah of Puravu. Why does the Gemara not quote the mitzvah of Puravu? Why does it quote the Shevet Yitzara? Over here Tosfos just has one little comment. In Kofnes Rabo Tosfos Bechetz Yeshivcha in Kofnes. So it comes up in Babasra, it comes up in a few places, in Gittin, a few different places. But over here, Bechetz Yeshivcha, Ein Kofnes Rabba, Elehecha Denogu Ba Minag Hefker. So it raises the question, what about a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bascharin? So the halacha is, the Gemara says that we only force the remaining master to free her if people are knowing b'minik hefker, if they're taking advantage of her. They're treating her, they're taking unfair advantage of her, and they're assaulting her. So why not free her anyway, just like the chatzi yev, chatzi ben chorin, l'shevis, no peruvu, but l'shevis yitzara, right? So he says, hainu, mishum dik sheishchara, shemel Lotiskayim, Kivan Delo Mechaiva. So it says, tells us exactly what you were saying. He says, but a little different. He says, granted, the Shevet Yitzar is the ultimate goal, but we don't know that she's going to do that even if we free her. Meaning, the Shevet Yitzar is a world goal. Pur Ravu is a personal mitzvah. So an Eved, once you free him and he becomes a Ben Chorin, he's now Chayiv in Pur Ravu. So he will do the mitzvah of Pur Ravu, and Mela, Leshevis Yitzhar will be accomplished. The world will be populated. The Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Bas Chorin, you're going to free her, and then what? She's still not going to have a mitzvah of Pur Ravu, so she's going to have no personal obligation to have children. So you have no guarantee that she's ever going to, that Leshevis Yitzhar is going to be accomplished. So for the suffix that it might be accomplished, it wouldn't be worth it. So Frek tells us a different question of Vim Tomer. It's an Avera to free an Eved Kenani. So how can we force him to do an Avera? Isn't this a violation of Chatei Kadesh Yizka Chavircha? We never tell a person, you should do an Avera so that someone else can get a mitzvah. So how can we force the master to free him? Yeshlomar, mitzvah rabba shayni. Just like the Gemara says in Brachos and Gittin, that mitzvah derabim shiny, that for the sake of being mashlim a minion, since it's something the whole community is going to benefit from, so you're allowed to be mashachar neved, so too a mitzvah rabba, a very great mitzvah, even if it's not a mitzvah derabim, but a very great mitzvah is different, and for a very great mitzvah you're allowed to violate an assay of freeing the eved. What makes this a great mitzvah? So the pasuk tells us, "L'shevis yitzara." Hashem created the world for this mitzvah, and that would explain why we quote this pasuk dafka, not Puruvu. Puruvu is a mitzvah. L'shevis yitzara explains why Puruvu is such an important mitzvah, because it's the purpose of creation to continue to populate the world. So for that, we'll allow him to violate the assay. Says Mishnah, Homer Lavdo. A guy says to his eved, "Say ushchot alai es haPesach." A guy says, "Go shech for me from Pesach," but he doesn't specify what type of animal. So shachat kedi yochal. So if the shliach shachs a kedi, the master could eat that. Shachat la yochal. If he shachs a tla, master could eat that. Either one, he's not makbid, obviously. Shachat kedi vitla yochal min arishon. If he shachs both, so then eat from the first one. Shachat ma omer lo rabo ketzad yaseh. What if the master was specific about what kind of animal to shech, but the shliach forgot the eved forgot what the master had told him? So yishchat la. So what he should do is he should check both the yomer, and he should make it tonight. Im gedi amrli rabbi gedi shalo v'tla shali. If my master told me to shech the gedi, so good, let the gedi be his and the tla will be mine. Vim tla amrli rabbi hatla shalo u'gedi shali. And if my master told me to shech the tla, so let the tla be his and the gedi will be mine. Shachach rabo ma amrlo. But if, let's say, the master also forgot, you come back to the master, look, I forgot which one I was supposed to shech for you, so I made this all tonight. So which one was it? You take whichever one you asked for. The master, I actually forgot which one I asked for. Shneim yetzel beis shreifa, they both go out to be burnt. Uptur milas pesach sheni, but you don't have to bring a pesach sheni. Says the Gemara, pshita shachat kedi yochal afagav the rugil betle. When we said that if the master never specified, you could shecht whichever one, and the master will eat that one. So it's pashut that even though the master usually eats tle, if you shecht the kedi, he could eat that one too. Shachat tle yochal afagav the rugil begedi. And if you shecht the tle, he eats that even though normally he eats a gedi. You don't have to go with what he normally does. It's not like when you make a shliach to be mafresh trumas and maestros. So the question of by truma, do you give ayin ra, ayin yaf? So the Eved has to think about what the master normally does. By Shchitas Karban Pesach, he doesn't have to think about what the master normally eats. Ela shachat kediyu tleh yochal min arishon. But wait a second. When you shecht both, the master just eats from the first one. Vatanya einim nal shnei pesachim kechad. You can't be registered in two korbanos at once. So masnisim melech and malka. Says Gemara, now our Mishnah is talking about a melech and a malka. Vatanya, the Brisa says, einim nal shnei, this Vatanya is benichusa. You're not allowed to be registered on two korbanos at one time. Umaisa b'melech u'malka shamru l'avdeyem tzu v'shachtu aleinu as ha-pesach v'yatzu v'shachtu aleinu shnei pesachim. The melech and the malka said to their avadim to go shecht the korban pesach for them, and they went and they shechted two korbanos pesach. So they asked the melech, what are we supposed to do? What do you do? Which one is yours? Now, Amar lahem, luchu v'shalu as ha-malka. He said, go ask the malka. Bo v'shalu min ha-malka. So they went and they asked the malka. Amar lahem, luchu v'shalu as ha-gamliel. So she said, you got to go ask Rav Gamliel. I'm not a rabbi. So bo v'shalu as ha-gamliel. So they went and they asked Rav Gamliel. Amar lahem, malka u'melech, t'daitan kala lehen, yochla min ha-rishon. A malka and a melech who eat so many delicious foods, they're not going to be so makbid on a specific type, because if they want the other type, they'll have the other type tomorrow. It's not like when you go out to eat, to a nice restaurant once a year or something. So it better be good. If it's not good, then that's your one time. You go out every single night. Okay, so sometimes good, sometimes bad. You'll get it better next time. So the Melech and the Malka, they're always going to be able to have the delicacies. So it doesn't really matter to them so much. Anan, but for us, for normal people, no, we're not a Melech and a Malka. Lo nocha lo min harishon v'lo min hasheni. Can't eat from either one because he can't be mono in two karbanos. V'shum pamachas nimtzis. Once we're talking about stories where Rav Gamliel saved the day for the Melech and the Malka, so we tell another story with a suit of a Melech and a Malka. V'shum pamachas nimtzis alta bebeis hamitbachayim. Another time, they found a lizard in the kitchen, in the royal kitchen. U'bikshu l'tam is called a sudu kula. So it wasn't that the health department was going to shut them down, but it was that it was tumah. They were worried about tumah of all the food that the whole meal became tameh. So ba v'shalos hamelech. So they went and asked the Melech. Amar lahem. So they should have known already. The Melech says, go ask the Malka. So Bav v'shalos Malka, they asked the Malka, Amar lahem, l'chu v'shalos from Gamliel. Go and ask from Gamliel. Bav v'shalos, so they asked from Gamliel, Amar lahem, Beisamit b'chayim, roteach utzonen. He says, how is it in the kitchen? Is it hot or is it cold? Amar lo roteach. They said, have you ever been in the kitchen? It's boiling. Everything in there is boiling. So Amar lahem, l'chu v'yitilu l'akosh utzonen. Pour on the lizard a cup of cold water. So they poured a coat of cold water on it, and it moved. It was still alive. There was still some life in the lizard. It looked like it was dead, but it was really alive. So they're able to be matar the entire suda because it's only b'misa that it's going to be matame. So Nimtza, Melech Tali B'Malka, it turns out that the king relies on the queen. V'Nimtza's Malka Tali B'Rem Gamliel, and it turns out that the Malka relies on Rem Gamliel. V'Nimtza's Kol Suda Tali B'Rem Gamliel. So it turns out that the entire Suda is Tali on Rem Gamliel. Okay, Shach Masha Amar Lo Rabba. The Mishnah would not say if a person forgot what the master said. If the person forgot what the master had asked for, so you take two animals and you make the Tanai. So says Amar Shali. Wait a second. One part of this Tanai is that one of them will be mine. The Evet says. What do you mean mine? Mashkan Evet Kana Rabbo. There is no mine for an Evet. Mashkan Evet Kana Rabbo. Whatever an Evet owns, a master automatically owns. So Amar Abaye Holy Chetz Al Roa Haragil Rabbo at Slow. What you have to do is go to a shepherd that the master goes to all the time. To Nichle Betakanta Darabe, who will be interested in doing what's best for the master. Umakni Lechad Minayu Al Manashe in the Rabbo Rishuspo. And it should be makna one of them. So on the roa should be makna to the Evet one of the animals. Al menas that the master has no reshus. The way an eved can be koneh something without the master being koneh is the person who's makneh to the eved makes an explicit condition that I'm being makneh this to you al menas that your master has no rights over it. Shachach Rabbo Masha Amalo. What if the master also forgot what he had asked for? So the Mishnah said, then they have to burn both animals, and neither one brings a Pesach Sheni. So Amar Abaye lo shonu al shachach. Achar Zrika. That's only if they forgot after they already did the Zrika. To be in the Izrak Dam, have a Chazi L'Achila. Because at the time of the Zrika, it was Rai L'Achila because they knew which animal was the real carbon at the time of the Zrika. So then it would be perfectly valid at that time. It's just they can't eat it later because they don't know which one is the real carbon Pesach. So they don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni because at the Zrika it was good. Aval Shachach Lefnei Zrika, but if they already forgot before they ever did the Zrika, where at the time that they did the Zrikas Hadam, it wasn't even right to be eaten, then Chayav Nasos Pesach Sheni. Then they have to do a Pesach Sheni. Ika demasin la abraisa. Some have this comment of Abaye in connection to abraisa instead of in connection to our Mishnah. What's the braisa? Chamisha shenisarvu oros pischein zebezeh. Five people have the hides of their karbanos pesach get mixed up with each other. V'nimtzeis yabelis bechen mehen, and we find a wart, a mum on one of the karbanos. Kulon yotzin the beis hasreifa. They all have to be brought out to be burnt. Uptur milasos pesach sheni, but no one has to bring a pesach sheni. And on that Amr Abaye, that's Rabbi says Lo Shanu El Shenasar V'La Achar Zrika. That's only if the Taroves, the confusing of all these different animals, happened after the Zrika Saddam to be in the Izrik Dam Miyav Chazil Achila. So at least at the time that the Zrika Saddam was done, it was right to be eaten. Aval Nisarvu Lifnei Zrika. But if the mix-up happened before the Zrika, Chayav Nasas Pesach Sheni, then they would still need to make Pesach Sheni. So says Gemara, Man Demasya Masnis and Kol Shekinah Braisa. If Abai made this comment of the distinction between before Zrika and after Zrika on the Mishnah, then it for sure would apply on the Braisa as well. But Man Demasya Braisa Avla Masnisa Lo, a Masnisa Lo. If you learned this comment in connection with the Braisa, it would not necessarily apply to the Mishnah, because Kivan Deksherininhu, the Itka Ravachazi Lachila Kameshamaya Galia. The difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah is in the Braisa, the problematic carbon is really problematic. It's possible. You have a possible carbon. Whereas in the Mishnah, it's a kosher carbon. We just can't identify which one is the kosher carbon, but it is a kosher carbon. The Achronim bring a riot, the Onagenta brings a riot from our Sugya. There's a discussion of the concept of Bittel Barov. What happens when you mevatel something Barov? So when you mevatel something Barov, we assume that it loses, you have something non kosher, gets mixed in with a bunch of things that are kosher, so we assume that it loses its character of being non-kosher. Does Bittel Barov work to actually to take away qualities, or also it definitely works to take away qualities or character of something? Does it also work to give it the quality of the rov? Meaning, let's say you have various strings of tzitzis. Some of them were nitva l'shma, some of them were spun l'shma, some of them were not. Majority were spun l'shma, and they all get mixed up with each other. So do we say, okay, now they're all l'shma, that Bittel Barov makes it, that it has the quality of l'shma, that it actually introduces a quality to it? Or no, it's only mafkia, whatever previous din it had. You have matzos, some of which are made l'shma, some of which are not made l'shma. So we'll give the shame l'shma to all the matzos. So then you got the proofs from our sugi that no, it does not do that. Because our sugi, we have these five different karbonos that are mixed together, and four of them are good. So Bittel Barov should make the fifth one good also. And not only should it lose its, it should give it the status of a kosher karbon Pesach. So he says, you see that Bittel Barov is only able to be mafkia din, not to be mosif a new din, and therefore, memela, there's not going to be an issue of Bittel Barov over here. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow.